Welcome to the PWC podcast. We're really glad you could join us today. We're jumping into something pretty special, a deep dive into Proverbs chapter 12. Now, I know it's ancient, but honestly, the wisdom in there, it feels like it was written for right here, right now. Our goal today really is to sketch out a kind of roadmap, a way to build a life that, well, that can't be shaken. We're going to look at five key areas straight from Proverbs 12, handling correction, the power of truth, diligence in our work, the impact of our words, and finding stability in righteousness. Each one, I think, can genuinely change how we experience our day-to-day. So let's get started laying that foundation.
It's fascinating, isn't it, how we often look for really complex answers, but sometimes the most profound insights are, you know, centuries old, right there for us. And this deep dive into Proverbs 12, it's exactly about that, tapping into wisdom that lasts. We're not just dealing with abstract ideas here. This is practical stuff. Applicable knowledge for building a stable, meaningful life, straight from the source.
I completely agree. And speaking of building, let's dive into that first pillar, correction. Now, let's be honest, most of us, when we hear the word correction, well, it's tough. Our first reaction isn't always, oh, great, feedback. It's more like bracing ourselves, maybe getting a little defensive.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Proverbs 12.1, it doesn't really mince words, does it? It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid.
Yeah.
That word, stupid, it hits hard, right? It sounds almost, I don't know, harsh.
It does sound harsh.
Why do you think the Bible uses such a strong word there? Is it just shock value? Or is there something deeper about resisting growth?
That's a really good question. I think it is meant to be jarring, yeah. Mm. But connecting it to the bigger picture, it really highlights something profound. Refusing correction, it isn't just about pride. It's like putting up a fundamental roadblock to gaining knowledge, to personal growth. You know, modern psychology talks about things like grit, resilience, the ability to adapt based on feedback. Proverbs was onto this ages ago.
So it's less about punishment and more about refining, like an athlete with a coach.
Exactly like that. It's training, not punishment. Hebrews 12.11 puts it so well. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. We've all felt that, right? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace.
Mm.
So correction is presented as God's way of developing us, of shaping our character.
That reframing changes everything. Thinking of it as training for grit. That makes sense. I remember working on a project, and the feedback I got was pretty direct, pointed out exactly where I'd gone wrong. My first instinct was to explain, you know, justify myself, but I just listened. And honestly, applying that tough feedback was what really helped me improve. So for you listening, maybe think about this. Next time someone you trust gives you feedback, instead of that knee-jerk defensiveness, try leaning in. See it as maybe God shaping your character. An opportunity can really shift things. Okay, so we've got correction as a cornerstone. Now let's look at the ground we're building on, truth. The sheer power of truth. This impacts, well, everything. Every conversation, every relationship.
Absolutely fundamental.
Proverbs 12.22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Pretty clear statement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
About how much truth matters. We live in a culture where, you know, those little white lies sometimes feel okay, harmless, even polite sometimes. But I love this analogy. Think of lies like termites.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, individually, they seem tiny, maybe insignificant. But over time, they just eat away at trust. They erode the structure of a relationship, a workplace, even just your own integrity. And often, you don't see the damage until the whole thing starts to crumble.
That termite image is powerful because it captures the hidden destruction, doesn't it? And Jesus' words in John 8.32, they're so key here. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This isn't just about avoiding sin, although it includes that. It's freedom from the burden of lies. You know, the mental energy it takes to keep track, the anxiety of getting caught. When we operate in truth, yes, it honors God, but it also genuinely sets relationships free. It sets workplaces free from that suspicion and distrust. And yeah, it sets us free.
Sets us free. I like that. But, okay, let's be real. Sometimes telling the truth, especially a hard truth, it feels like it creates more problems initially, doesn't it? More tension.
That's a crucial point, yeah. That initial discomfort is real because truth often bumps up against a comfortable lie or, you know, an illusion we've been holding on to. But that temporary tension, if you handle it with grace and love, it's actually what's needed to build something solid. Think of it like a surgeon's knife. Painful for a moment, but necessary for healing. The alternative is building on sand.
Right, building on sand.
Yeah.
Constantly worried it'll wash away.
Exactly. So the freedom isn't about having zero tension ever, but it's freedom from the constant threat of collapse because you're built on something fake.
Got it. Okay, so here's something practical, maybe a filter before we speak. Ask yourself three things. Is it true? Is it loving? Is it necessary? If it doesn't tick all three boxes, maybe, just maybe, it's better left unsaid for now. It's a good little check-in. And just as we're hitting the middle of this deep dive, I want to pause for a second and invite you, if you're finding this helpful, to connect with us more. Imagine digging deeper into this kind of wisdom within a supportive community. We'd love for you to check out PWC. That's Pittsford Wesleyan Church. You can find us online, see what we're about, or even better, come visit us in person. There are lots of ways to grow and connect. Just head to PWC, Pittsford Wesleyan Church, online to find out more. All right, so we've talked about internal stuff, correction, truth. Now let's shift to how we actually build things in the world with our hands, our effort. Let's talk diligence. This can sometimes feel like, you know, just work, a chore. But Proverbs has a different angle.
A much more empowering one, I think.
Yeah. Proverbs 12:24 says, "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor." That's quite the contrast, isn't it? It really pushes against that idea of work just being a burden we have to endure. What if work is actually a gift from God?
Yeah.
An opportunity.
That reframing is key.
Yeah.
And it leads to the question, are we treating our everyday tasks, even the mundane ones, as worship? Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." And that's not just our 9-to-5 job. It's doing the dishes, writing that email, serving a client, approaching these things with diligence, with our whole heart. It honors God. And here's the amazing part. Often that faithfulness, that diligence, it opens doors we couldn't even see coming, creates opportunities down the road.
Work at it with all your heart. That really plays everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It changes things when you think diligence isn't just about your own success, but about honoring God in the process. You know, you hear stories about people who just poured themselves into something small, seemingly insignificant.
Yeah.
And that dedication ends up unlocking something huge. Or the volunteer who's just faithfully there week after week, and then suddenly they're the one everyone relies on. Diligence plants seeds, builds a future. Okay, so we're working diligently. Now, what about how we interact while we work and live? Let's talk about words, the impact of our words. This one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one hits home for me. Because I know how fast words can fly out and how hard they are to pull back. I remember saying something once, just totally offhand, careless.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the look on the person's face. Ugh. It was a real lesson in the weight our words carry, even the unintended ones.
It's so true. They land with force.
And Proverbs 12:1 hand paints such a clear picture. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Sword or healing, that's a dark choice, right? Wounding or mending. And verse 25 adds to it, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up.
It's incredibly relatable, isn't it? I mean, think about it. You can probably instantly recall a time someone's words just lifted you, gave you hope. And sadly, probably also a time when words cut you down, left you feeling discouraged. It just proves. Words matter. Deeply. They don't just float away. They shape emotions. They build or break connections. They can genuinely shape destinies, how we see ourselves, what path we take.
They really do shape destinies.
Yeah.
Wow. Why do you think words hold so much power over us? What's at the heart of that?
Well, I think it comes down to a couple of things. One is identity. Our words tell people who we think they are, their value. That hits deep. And the other is connection. Words are the main way we build bridges between each other. Perilous words, they start dismantling those bridges. Wise, kind words, they reinforce them, make them stronger.
Dismantling or reinforcing bridges. That's a great image. Okay, so here's a challenge, a really practical one for this week. Be intentional. Try to speak just one word of encouragement every single day. Just one. Think about the potential ripple effect. Not just for them, but for you too. It's a small step toward creating a life filled with healing, not hurting. All right, we've covered correction, truth, diligence, words. Brings us to the final pillar, the anchor, really. The foundational stability we find in righteousness. This is about building something that truly lasts.
The bedrock.
Exactly. Proverbs 12:3 says, "No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted." So righteousness here, it means living aligned with God's ways, integrity, honesty, justice, building on his character, this huge promise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Cannot be uprooted. And it stands in such contrast to the world shortcuts we sometimes see. You know, the chase for fast money, quick fame.
Instant gratification.
Right. But those things rarely provide real lasting stability. They're often like shifting sand. What's built there tends to crumble fast.
That's right. Only righteousness, that alignment with God, gives true, deep stability. And Scripture gives us that beautiful image in Psalm 1, describing the righteous person like a tree planted by streams of water. Think about that. Deep roots, constant nourishment from the source, resilience. So when the storms hit, because they will hit, that's life. Those roots hold firm. It's not about never facing hardship. It's about having the deep down strength, the foundation to withstand it. That's the unshakable part.
That image of the tree is so powerful. It makes you really pause and think, doesn't it? So the question isn't really how fast can I get ahead, but maybe what am I actually rooted in? That shifts the focus entirely from just achieving things to building lasting character. And when you pull all these threads together from Proverbs 12, correction, truth, diligence, words, righteousness, you start to see this amazing structure taking shape, a life built strong. Proverbs 12:28 kind of sums it up. In the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. That's the promise. So this whole deep dive, it's really been about exploring God's blueprint for that kind of life, a life that can't be shaken. Rooted in truth, purposeful in work, healing with words, open to growth through correction. It's about living wisely, living well.
Absolutely. And the question then becomes, how do we make this real? How do we move from knowing this to actually living it day by day? So here's a challenge for everyone listening for this coming week. Pick one, just one principle from our discussion today: correction, truth, diligence, words, or righteousness. Commit to practicing just that one thing consciously every single day this week. Maybe write it down, put it on your bathroom mirror, in your car, set a reminder on your phone, whatever works, and then just watch. Pay attention to what happens. See how that small, consistent focus starts to ripple outwards. You might be surprised.
That's a fantastic, really doable challenge. I hope everyone takes that on. Thank you so much for joining us today for this deep dive into Proverbs 12. And hey, if this encouraged you, maybe share it with a friend, someone who could use this wisdom, this blueprint for an unshakable life. Remember, Proverbs isn't just old advice. It feels like God's plan for living strong right now. Thank you for listening to the PWC podcast. We'd love to see you join us this Sunday at 11 a.m.